Shabbat Shalom. So we are in the Torah portions again. Last night we went through quite a bit of stuff. And this morning we're going to continue down that. And let me tell you, this is what we're doing when we study the Torah. We're drawing near to Him. And what is He going to do to us? He's going to draw near to us. That's what He's going to do. Because He'll honor you when you take time to study what He said, the things He said. How many believe if we serve God, if we say, I serve God, shouldn't we listen to Him? Amen. Shouldn't we listen to Him? We should listen to what He's got to say. We shouldn't say, oh, we don't need that today. We need everything He said. There's nothing that He said that doesn't matter. Because God don't just talk just to fill the pages of the Bible. He said things that matter, and they're all important. Every scripture is important and vital to our lives, and we should learn to love it. We should have a passion for it, and we should... It should be something that we're passionate about. So in this Torah portion is portion number 12, Vayahi. Everybody say Vayahi. Keep practicing. Say it to yourself over and over. Vayahi. And so it means in Hebrew, and he lived. And he lived. And so we're talking about Yaakov comes to his death. And last night we pointed out how he had so much wisdom and so much understanding after studying for 14 years under Melchizedek, which is Shem, that God didn't even allow him to say everything. But what he said over his sons was powerful. What he said, and we're going to look, that's the focus on today. We're going to look at what he said. And notice when he came to his death, it says he took his breath. And then he was gathered to his family. So it didn't say he died. It didn't use the word for die, and we're going to cover that. And also in the Haftorah points that out. When it speaks of David, it says David slept with his fathers. So it didn't use the word for die there. And so he's hinting at something. And that's what excites me so much about this Torah portion. He's filling us with a lot of information, but he's hinting at something. Now he's finally showing that there's going to be a resurrection, and so you just got to wait a little while. And so Yeshua hinted at the same thing. And hopefully we'll cover this today. We'll get to that part. But that's the part that really brought inspiration to me this week, because in Him, we're just waiting for that time when He comes and we see His face. It's just a wonderful thing. It's absolutely incredible. So we're going to go through this portion. So go right where we left off last night. So in chapter 49, Yaakov blesses his 12 sons. Now I want you to really pay attention to the blessing that came from Jacob as he spoke over his 12 sons. And we're going to look at each one of them and how they're connected. Remember we talked about how that Israel started migration. They migrated. And he said some will go to the north and some will go to the west. And we've seen that happen in them. And we see, I want you to see how many people that you might live around today that can tie their descendants directly back to the 12 tribes of Israel. It's so powerful. And I think we should at least look at it and study it for ourselves so we can grab hold to it and administer to our lives. So let's look at it together. Genesis 49, verse 1. And Yaakov called his sons and said, gather together so that I declare to you what is to befall you in the last days. Notice his words. He said, I'm going to let you know. So he's going to prophesy over each one of them. How many's ever been gathered together in a spot where God sent a word, gave a word to you? You was in one spot. He gathered it. You together, He gave a word to you. I'm telling you, I can't emphasize enough to you today. You got to love that word. You got to be passionate about it. You ought to have scripture on it. You should have taken time to break it down and find all the scripture on it. And make sure that you studying around those scripture, because you see this pattern in the scripture, how God instructed the scripture, that these scripture have so much more meaning to it than just reading it right off the surface. There's some hidden meanings, and we should take some time to look at that. I tell you, it'll really help you and minister to your life. So what we see, he says, I'm going to tell you, I'll gather you together, and I'll declare to you what is to befall you in the last days. Gather together and hear, you sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel your father. Notice he called them sons of Jacob, but what he wants them to listen, he calls him Israel. Because that character is going to come out, that anointing on his life. He said, listen to Israel your father. And so, right here, we're going to point out back to Eretz Israel. Therefore, says, thus said the Master Yah, I shall gather you from the peoples, and I shall assemble you from the lands where you have been scattered. This is the focus on the 49th chapter. We're going to see where God scattered all the children of Israel. Because most of the time when we say Israel, we think of that small spot over in Israel and Jerusalem, and we think of it as just a small group of people. We talk about multitudes of people, because through Ephraim, we realize that he adopted those two boys, and he put the blessing on Ephraim, the firstborn blessing, and he said some will go to the north and some will go to the west, and we gave you those charts last night to show you that. But notice what he says in Ezekiel 11. He said, I shall gather you from the peoples, and I shall assemble you from the lands where you have been scattered, and I shall give you the land of Israel. So there should be a strong appetite and a strong desire for us to think about Israel every day. Why is that? Because that's the homeland. That's the homeland. And the Bible center points that. It center points Israel. It's like the center point. Even in politics, it's the center point. And it's amazing how so many people or countries want that land. They think they can take the land and destroy it and somehow change the plan of Yah. You can't change the plan of Yah. Because the moment you trod under the foot of men, that land, Yeshua's coming back and he's going to set the record straight. How many thank God you got somebody waiting in the wings who's going to come back and set the record straight? And so we don't have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear. We ought to be excited and happy and thrilled to be a part of that family. And they shall go there and shall take away all its disgusting matters and all its abominations from there. So what's going to happen? When he starts to gather the people, what are you naturally going to do when you start reading the Torah? What are you naturally going to do? What's the natural thing happens? You realize there's some things you've been doing you cannot do any longer. So he's removing the abomination. He takes it away. And you're just reading the Torah and that does that. You read the Torah and you say, well, I can't do that because the Torah tells me not to. And so this is what he said. In the last days, he's going to remove that. And it's because people are going to turn back to reading the scripture just like it's set there. In verse 19, and I shall give them one heart. How many thank God for that? I shall give them one heart and put a new spirit within you. Now, he gave us some examples of that new spirit. There was a couple fellas had a different spirit in them. Who remembers who those fellas were? Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit in them. Now, how'd that happen? Because they were following closely more of the Torah than the rest of them. So when God would give them a word, they believed the word he gave them. And they took it to heart, and they believed it with everything that's in them. And so it created an excitement and a move in their spirit, and they had a kindred spirit, spirit-to-spirit type reaction. That's what Paul was talking about. He says, when I speak the word to you, the natural man can't understand it. Because you understand this by the Spirit. And that's why he encourages us to make sure that we pray. We go to the Lord in prayer before we read the scripture. So we're ready. We're prepared. Lord, any type of fleshly thinking, anything, I want that removed because I won't get what I'm about to read, even though it's the truth what you're reading. You won't receive the truth until you're clear because a spirit-to-spirit connection has to happen. And so I always say, Lord, I thank you that you put a new spirit in me. When I go to study, I read the scripture. When I go to preach, I have a new spirit, a different spirit. And I'm operating at a different level because your anointing's there. And that's what he wants to do. God, give me a new spirit within me. And so I see the day different. I see it different. And you do that, it changes your life. It's amazing what happens. He said, a new spirit within you, and I shall take the stony heart out of their flesh. How many want God to remove the stony heart out of our flesh and give them a heart of flesh? Thank God that he gives us a new start. And that's what's amazing about him. Look what he says. So that they walk in my laws. So when you get this, when you get born again, what do you want to do? You walk in his laws. You don't walk in something else. You don't make stuff up. You don't create your own list of rules and regulations. So at our church, this is what we do. Well, that's hurt the world today. That has destroyed the world when we talk about what our church does. What about what the Torah says? And should we not follow it if we're going to be believing? If we believe in Christians, we should follow what it says. But he says, they'll walk in my laws and guard my right rulings. He done ruled on everything. If you want a ruling on anything, you got to go to the instruction manual. You go to the instruction, you see what the ruling was, and that ruling applies to me or any generation that came after. There's no different ruling. It's the same right ruling. And so we should love the word of God. And they shall do them. How many see that do? That's the works. That's the works. Because this is what we think. We say, well, I have faith. Well, if faith stands by itself, what good is it? What the Apostle Paul said, Shaul says, I'll show you my faith by my work, what I do. That shows you that I'm in a belief system, that I'm in the way. He was talking about the way, and they were disputing what he was following. Was he following Yeshua? He said, I'm going to show you that I follow him because I'm going to do what he says. What he tells me to do, I'm going to do. If he instructs me to do it, I'm going to do it. So it shows people that you have faith. You can talk about your faith, but you never know you have faith until you've been in a real good fight, until you had to go through something. And what pulls you out of that fight? You have to have some basis, and the basis is the word of Yah. His word doesn't change. It's the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I change not. And if he changes not, how is it so often said that somehow because of the new walk we're in, we got something different? It's been destructive to the world. But notice what he says he's going to do in the end times. They'll walk in my right rulings and shall do them, and they shall be my people, and I shall be their Elohim. What a statement that is. They shall be my people, and I shall be their Elohim. If we're God's people, then we're on a winning team. I mean, thank God you're on a winning team. But those whose hearts walk after their heart of their disgusting matters and their abominations, I shall recompense their deeds on their own head, declares the Master Yah. So if they don't want, they'll resist it. There's always resistance. Even when we started in this, there was a little resistance. I had my resistance before we started. And I lived with that resistance for a couple of years. I was resisting it because I was questioning everything about it because it was so plain, yet so foreign. That was the crazy thing. I couldn't understand. How could it be on the same page that I read 1,000 times and I never saw it? And that was my biggest thing. How could it be on the same page? Is it a different book? What happened here? But Yah pulled the scales down, and he let me see, because he knew it was the end times coming. And he said, before I come, I'm not going to leave you blind. I'm going to reveal myself to you. You're going to be my people, and he'll be our Elohim. So that's what he did. And when that revelation came to me, there was no way I could keep it to myself, regardless of the outcome of how people reacted. So you risk it all. You get out there and you risk every bit of it. You say, if they're going to react wrong, there's nothing I can do about it. But the one thing I know, that I'm going to stand before Yah one day, and he's going to judge me by what he told me to do. And if I don't do what he said, then we're all, what's the point in it if we're not going to do what he says? But notice that verse 21, but to those whose heart walk after the heart of their disgusting matters. What did he call them? Disgusting matters. Remember, abominations is the thing that makes you sick. It's what makes you sick. And God, he can't stand it. So he don't want none of it. So he reveals himself more. He makes it more clear. Now, he's never hid himself at all, but he makes himself more available for those who hunger and search for him to find him. Remember, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. That's what he does. And when he draws near, you see stuff you never saw. How many from the time you first got saved to now you seeing stuff you never saw? So this is no joke here. We're not kidding. You see stuff you never saw. And can you imagine a second in your life going back to how it was? Because you'd have to try to make a lie everything that's been revealed is true to you. And you can't do it. It's impossible to do because it's so plain. It's so clear. And that's what he's trying to let us know. When God got ready to reveal, that's what he did. He revealed. And he said he would do it in the end times. So we are living out these prophecies. That's what's so incredible. Everybody say, I wish I was in Bible days. You are. You are in Bible days. The Bible's not finished. You are in Bible days. Don't wish you could go somewhere else. Thank God for where you are. You're born at the right time. Listen, it could be your generation that looks up and sees the eastern sky split wide open and Yeshua comes out and says he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can you imagine? And every other one, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they say, boy, I wish I'd have been there. Can you imagine the spot we're in? If you're considering whether God cares about you or loves you, that he'd raise up a generation at this time who wouldn't back down, but truth is truth, and that's what it's going to be. And that's what we need. We have to be determined. And so what we see here, we see this was how he commanded them when they would camp. He divided them up, and they would camp. And this is what he commanded them. So here's Levi. He's the priest. So he's going to be counted, but he's not counted in the 12. And so let's look at them together. We'll look at all of them. Let's go to Ephraim and Manasseh and Benjamin. The promises were made, and they're west. And their emblem is the bull. Let me see the bull. Now, why is it the bull? Because the bull is what drives the plow. It goes ahead. It don't wait for nobody. Once it starts going, even the load don't slow it down. The plow, the dirt being hard, don't stop it. It drives. It goes through circumstance, situation, it doesn't matter, and it becomes a great people. That was the promise that was made. And then we have, to the north, we have Dan, Naphtali, and Asher. And how many see what that is? The head of an eagle. And then we have to the south, Reuben and Simeon and Gad. Their numbers are going to be less because they had some mistakes in their life. So their numbers kind of dwindle, but they still exist, but never got to the numbers they could have had if they'd have been obedient. And it's the head of a man. And then Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. Judah to the east. And so think about this. This is how it was set up, and I'll read a few verses for you. This was how it set up by Yah when they would encamp. When they would encamp, this is how the encampment had to be. They would set up around the holy place, which Levi was responsible for. So in all, there's 13 tribes in all. Keep that in mind. Remember the directional prophecy talking about where Elohim will bring Israel back from at the Messiah's coming. Surely these shall come from afar. Look, those from the north and from the west, and these from the lands of Sinim, and Isaiah 49:12. In the Bible, unless otherwise noted, all directions are orientated to Jerusalem, unless it's noted. All other directions are toward Jerusalem. So the tracks must ultimately head north and west, which they do. So we read the scripture and we find out where these tracks head, and they head exactly as the Bible says they should head. And so what we see, this dispersion, this is hard to read, but the ensigns of the lost sheep of true Israel. Matthew 15:24, I was sent only. Notice who's the speaker here. Who's the speaker? Yeshua's the speaker, so we got to listen to what he says. He says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. If he's only sent for the lost sheep, then we ought to pay attention to that. So what happens, we get all besides ourselves because Judah doesn't accept him. Was he sent for Judah? When is he going to come for Judah? In his second coming. Judah's looking for him to come as a king because he comes from the king line. Where was David's line from? Judah, through Perez. So we see how much history we're learning while we go through the Torah portion. There's things that you'll be able to conversate with and talk to people. You'll say, well, and where did Zerah and Perez come from? Who was their mama? Tamar. You see, you'll pick up all these things, and so you can have a conversation. You can have a conversation with a Jewish person, and they'll be beside themselves when you start spilling out this stuff. They won't even know where you're getting this from, because they have gotten it from years of Torah study, and you got it in just a very short time. What's happening? God is letting our ears be unstopped. Our eyes are seeing. Our mind is understanding, because he knows he's coming back, and he's coming back soon. And we want to be ready. And so we see Yeshua himself says, makes this wonderful statement, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So that those 10 tribes that were spread abroad, he came only for those. And why did he come? Because he's going to tell us what the purpose of that was for. From the Elohim of Abraham, Numbers 2, the children of Israel are to camp, each one by his own banner, beside the sign of his father's house. Let them camp around the tent of appointment at a distance. So he's giving them this instructions on how to do this. So when you see these charts made up, they're not just made up charts. They're following the text. That's what the text says. So you put it just like it says. Find a tribe today in today's world using the ancient art of heraldry. There are 12 original tribes of Israel, one for each son. Look for Judah's two sons, Perez and Zerah. Perez, the golden lion, and Zerah, the red hand or the red lion. Keep this in mind, because I'm giving you instructions on all the rest of the slides for the rest of the day. This is the instructions. We're going to find the tribes today. You say, can I find my tribe? You can if you take the time to do it. The tribe of Joseph had their blessing split in half between the two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. This act by Jacob/Israel of blessing the first and second born created another tribe, making the final total 13. The resources is Holy Scripture, the symbols of our Celtic and Saxon heritage, and W.H. Bennett. I'll leave that up. You can write that down if you want to look that last line up. Some good reading. Or you can get it, they'll have it. You got to do it before they get this posted, but other than that, they'll be there. Genesis 49, verse 3. Reuben, you are my firstborn. This is Jacob speaking to Reuben. My power and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of exaltation and the excellency of power, boiling like water, you do not excel, because you went up to your father's bed and you defiled it when you went up to my couch. So what we find Reuben did is one of the concubines, he went to his father's bed, meaning he had sexual relations with one of his father's wives. Is that okay in the Torah? It's forbidden, but Reuben did it. And so did Jacob forget what he did? He didn't forget. So the character that he has is going to be in the prophetic word for him. The character. Remember, if you're something in your prophecy you don't like, you got to check your character. You got to fix that part. And you can't fix it because you think you can fix it. You fix it because you let the Torah fix it. You look at the word of God and you let the word of God come in and do. What does the word says? He says the word is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces asunder divides soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. You got to let the word work in you. When you let it work, it gets your character right. So the tribe of Reuben, his first symbol is a man. Primary is a man. And did we not see that in our beginning when they put the tents around? The man's head, that was Reuben down there. And his second is water. So he has a primary symbol, is a man. And his second is water. So let's look at Reuben's here. This is the heraldic emblems of Reuben, the tribe of Reuben. And so I apologize, but I can't get it any bigger than it allows me. I go all the way up, and I couldn't get it any bigger. But it's good enough for us to see. So what we're looking for in these emblems is anything to do with these two sites here. So what we see in this one, this is Denmark. We see two men. So when I see two men in their coat of arms or in their crest, what am I thinking about? Reuben went there. You see how this works? So I know Reuben went there. And in the waves, you see the water? The water's in the shield. Again, that's a secondary. And so all of these are just crests of different places. You see the man here. You see the men standing here, a man here, and a soldier here. All of that is representing the places that Reuben went. So you could get these where you can look at them better on your computer, but this is the best I could do with it. So how many see, if you're from Reuben, I would check your family history and see if you came from any of these places here. Right? This is a list of them right here. It lists all of them. If your family DNA comes from one of these areas, your chances of being from Reuben is high. Let me see how this works. So we're going to go through each son this way. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Their weapons are implements of violence. Notice their weapons are implements of violence. Let my being not enter their council. Let my esteem not be united to their assembly. Because they killed a man in their displeasure, and they lamed an ox in pleasure. So, again, their character is foretelling their prophecy over their life. So the tribe of Simeon and Levi, his first symbol is a sword. It's a sword. His second is a wall. A wall represents a fortress or a citadel or a gate. So let's look at their emblem. So this is the first part, Levi and Simeon. This primary seals a sword. A sword, and then secondary, a citadel, a castle. And so we see where they went. We see it in these emblems. You look at this one, you instantly look and say, this is Simeon and Levi. I mean, see how this works. In Germany, Ukraine, I mean, see that. Very important to look at. In the second one, there's another one. This is the second part because we're dealing with two brothers here. Scotland, Germany. You can see where all of these would wind up. Now, there's other symbols, but they represent somebody else. That means the two tribes found each other and they intermarried. That's what that means. So we're looking for the ones that come from these boys. So every one of them have to have something to do with that. And every one of these do. Now, This represents something different. We'll get to that in a little while. But how many see you can learn a lot of information right here just by understanding what prophecy Jacob gave over the boys? Cursed be their displeasure, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I divided them in Jacob and scattered them in Israel. You, Yehuda, Your brothers praise you. Your hand is on the neck of your enemy. Your father's children bow down before you. Yehuda is a lion's cub. So if we're looking for Yehuda, we're looking for what in the emblems? A lion. Pray from the prey you have gone up, my son. He bowed down, he crouched like a lion, and like a lion who does rouse him. The scepter shall not turn aside from Yehuda, nor the inscribe from between his feet. So what other thing are we looking for? A scepter. Remember that. Until Shiloh come. Remember we talked about that last night. Who is Shiloh? Who are they speaking of? Speaking of Yeshua. And to him is the obedience of people. What does that mean? He's going to rule, be a ruler. So we see in a lot of things here in the description, and now we're going to look at it. Before we do that, I want to take some time to show you how God puts it in the Hebrew language. The tribe of Judah. So this is Judah right here. The Yod, the Hey, the Vav. What is this? Somebody say it. Dalet and the Hey. So if we remove the Dalet, what do we have? Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. The name of Yah. How incredible is that? So why did he add a Dalet to Judah's name? Because the Dalet represents a what? What does it represent? A door. How important is that? And it also represents something else. So the Hey represents a hand. And the dollar represents a nail. So he's given us a description on how Judah's going to bring down the line. There's going to be someone from Judah who's going to hold the nails in his hand and is going to deliver his people. Is this how incredible the Hebrew language is? Because it tells a story within itself. And so anytime you see the Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh in somebody's name, you better pay close attention to that and realize that he put some other letter in there just so it can be said Yehuda. The Vav is where you get the who from. Yehu is where you get that sound from. But his first symbol is a lion, and of his true sons, Perez and Zerah, a golden line, a red line, a scepter, a grapevine, a red hand are his symbols. So we're looking at Judah's symbols. So let's look at it. Anytime you see this in the crest, these things, primary, secondary, and this is dealing with Zerah. Zerah is the red hand. How many see that? Any type of red in color. How many notice that a lot of these crests have the similar colors, yellow and red and blue. They have similar colors. So what we see, all of this is lions. And this right here, what is this? David's harp. David's harp. So we know that Judah's line, David came from that line, so we're still talking about Judah's line. And so we see this in the Netherlands. This is their crest. We see on both sides. So it's very strong. When you see it both sides, when you see one or the other, it's not as strong. When you see both sides, it's telling you a strong presence of Judah there. Is this helping anybody? England, Denmark, you go through these, it's really helpful. United Kingdom, you see a lot of this in the United Kingdom. So this is Judah's emblems. So let's take a look at Judah, just for sake of looking at Judah's. The royal house of Zerah in Judah, you'll see this Cretan kings come from that, the Trojan kings. This is just history. Frankish kings, Scandinavian. So you go back through your lineage, and if you're directly connected to any of these kingdoms, there you go. You're somewhat from there. The royal house of Perez, Judah, David, Solomon, Nathan, Zedekiah comes down, and then we get where there's a crossover. How many see this crossover? Where the line of Zerah goes to an area. So we have both Perez there through King David and Zerah. They intermarry, and we have the kings of Ireland. in Scotland. Let me see that. And then down this line, we have where Yeshua comes from, the high priest. It's a wonderful way to look at it when you look at how God kept everything intact for our learning, for our instruction. So we think these words that he says over these boys are just rambling on. He's not rambling on. He's telling us, if you want to find where they are and why I got to bring them back, and I'm going to strip away their detestable things and their abominations, but the ones who resist, they'll pay for it. But the ones who go, and they can't, how can God do it? Is he going to draw a big bath of water and put a lot of lye in it, and we're going to get in there and be clean from it? That's not what he's going to do. He's going to bring the Torah to us. He's going to say, you got to obey my word. You got where you are because of disobedience. You can get back in good standards if you do things right. And he made a way for where there seemed to be no way. He sent his only begotten son, Yeshua HaMashiach, who could cover the sins of all the years, all the transgression of all those years. If we accept what Yeshua did, his blood covers us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Then we get back in right standing. It's a wonderful thing. It's beautiful. How many see how beautiful this is? Listen, if the Torah was a woman, I'd marry her today. She's beautiful. Absolutely incredible. It's wonderful. I didn't know what else to say about it. It was close enough. I'm not sure Miss Charlotte cares about that. Genesis 49:11. Let's move on. Binding his donkey to the vine, his donkey's coat to the choice vine, he washes his garment in wine, his robe in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine, his teeth whiter than milk. Now think about these statements. This doesn't make a lot of sense until you see it when it's revealed. Binding his donkey to the vine, his donkey's coat to the choice vine, he washes his garment in wine, his robes in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine, his teeth whiter than milk. Now, he's telling us right here that through Judah, Mashiach's going to come. Now, who untied the donkey's coat? Who said, go down, go to this man's going to be there, tell him to get the coat? Who did that? Yeshua. So, this is Yaakov saying this. You think this guy was operating by a different spirit? You think maybe the Spirit of God was in Yaakov, but he was saying this? Now, he was an old man, couldn't hardly see, but he was flowing by the Spirit of God to relay these messages. It was absolutely incredible. And so we look at that verse, that one verse, and this is where we have one of those anomalies, where we have an enlarged letter. So in that one verse, which is verse 49:12, we look it up, we see it in Hebrew, and there's an enlarged, what is this? Het. Enlarged het. So it's enlarged. Now we don't have the actual picture of it to show. I couldn't find it. I looked everywhere to try to find it. But in the original manuscript, on this het is a crown. And down at the legs of the het is tassels. And so he's saying, his eyes shall be red with wine. So notice what he's saying. This is all speaking of Judah's line. And where Mashiach comes from? The tribe of Judah. So he had a lot to say about Judah because there's a lot going to happen there. But look what it says in Malachi 4:2. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. His what? His tzitzits. That's for all the folks think that it don't matter. Yeshua wore tzitzits because when he's using the word wings there, he's telling them it's the corners of the garments. And where's the healing going to be? And the woman comes there and says, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. She was troubled by a disease, but she knew where to go to. Now, what was she going to in reality? She was going back to the Torah. She was going back to everything the Torah said. Now, she couldn't be not eating right and expect a miracle. Nor should we. Amen. She had spent all her money, and for 12 years, instead of getting better, she got worse. But she said, today is going to be the day. And there's a song that says, I'm going to give it all I have in this moment. And speaking of that same story, and let me tell you, she said that day, I'm going to give it all I got in this moment. I'm not going to let this moment pass. And let me tell you, we're in a moment right now. I don't know if you noticed, we're in a moment right now. You got to give it all you got if you're going to serve him, because the enemy is going to try to distract you and make you believe nonsense when the word of God is clear and plain. And he's saying, let me show you, I'm just going to lay it all out. I'm pulling back all the curtains. Everything's going to be plain for you to see. You can embrace it or you can reject it. But one thing's for certain, you're not going to reject me without knowledge. You're going to know. You're going to know what you rejected. It's going to be clear to you. You rejected Yah, because he can't judge you if you just reject nonsense. But if he reveals his truth to you and you reject that, then he can judge you because you rejected him. Does that make sense to everybody? But we're in a moment right now. And what do you have to do in that moment? Give it all you got. I mean, give everything you got. Because this ain't no ordinary time we're in, and we got to give it everything we have. So, and you shall go out and leap for joy like calves from the stall. That's what happens when you get healed. Remember the man that's waiting to go at the temple? And they came by. He understood what it meant. He understood, and you shall go out leaping for joy like a calf from the stall. He understood that because he got healed. He needed a miracle. And you get a miracle happen in your life, that's what happens to you. You can't wait to tell somebody. You can't wait to shout for joy. You can't wait for the next Shabbat service. You're going to be there first. But look at, as this thing goes on, I'm going to bring it back to the Brit Hadishah. Revelations 19, verse 11. And I saw the heavens open, and there was a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Trustworthy and True. And in righteousness he judges and fights. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. Now notice this, the same thing that Jacob said to Yehuda. He said his eyes are going to be like red from the wine. But here he's describing, John seeing it, he's giving a description. His eyes are like a flame of fire. He's seeing the same thing, and he's pointing to his eyes. And his head were like many crowns, having a name that had been written, which no one had perceived except himself. And having been dressed in a robe dipped in blood. I mean, see this. Now, Jacob, he knows some stuff. He's relaying it to his 12 boys, this very thing. And then John comes along many years later, and he puts it in plain speech for us to understand it. But how many of you see, if you don't read the Torah, you're going to mistake these things. You don't know what they apply to. What does this mean? How many can see trying to read Revelation with no Torah experience? And that's what most of the church is teaching. Just read the New Testament. You don't have to read the Old Testament. Lie, lie, lie. You have to read the Old Testament or you're going to miss a big, big portion of understanding. You got no foundation to go off of. Why was this said in the New Testament? Why was this repeated in the New Testament? How is it that Yeshua quoted many times, hundreds of times, he quoted the Old Testament and we're not supposed to? How do you quote something if you never read it and didn't know it? We're talking about the Torah teacher himself. And what is he going to teach in the kingdom? He's going to teach the Torah. I mean, understand? How many see how simple this is? It's not hard. And his name shall be called the Word of Yah. His name shall be called the Word of Yah. Valuable. And Isaiah 63, verse 1. Who is coming from Edom with garments of glowing colors from Basra, who is robed in splendor, striding forward in greatness of his strength? It is I who speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Why is there red on your raiment, in your garments like one who treads the winepress? I have trodden the winepress alone, and from the peoples no one was with me. Now, all this I spoke in the Revelation series, all these scriptures I read. And I trod them down in my displeasure, and I trampled them in my wrath. Their blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have defiled all my raiment. For a day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed has come. What a day that's going to be. So he's not coming back to say, how y'all doing? He ain't coming back for a greeting. He's coming back to position himself in a rightful place that has been prophesied that he would take the throne of David and he would reside there for 1,000 years and rule and reign and teach the Torah. I don't know about you, but I'm signing up for those classes. I'm signing up. I want to be sitting right there when Yeshua himself says, okay, everybody turn to Torah portion number 12. And you're going to be sitting there and you're not going to be oblivious to it. You're not going to be feeling like you walked in the wrong classroom. You're going to know exactly what he's talking about. And some of you are going to shout, Vayahi. And can you imagine Yeshua? He's going to say, that's what I'm talking about. You're going to have some type of memory to it. That's why, how many see, that's why I've been praying, Lord, give us a little more time so we can get this down. Because we're behind still. How many feel like you're behind? We want to get this down. We want to learn what we're going to be expected to know when we sit at his feet. Because he's going to teach the Torah, and it's going to be wonderful. Those classes are going to be wonderful. How many excited about that? And you're going to understand every word. See, right now, it's foreign to us. We put this stuff up. Some of you never seen a dollar in your life. You don't know what you thought, you know, man, dolly. You say, what do we need to move? You never seen a dollar in your life. That's okay, but then you won't be that away. Because you're going to know him just like he should be known. It's going to be a face-to-face, and when that happens, it changes everything. Your language changes, your thought process changes. All sickness, disease is removed. There's no pain, there's no sorrow, there's no more tear. And you're going to embrace Yeshua. It's going to be a wonderful day, and we're going to sit at his feet, and he's going to teach us the Torah. It's going to be wonderful. And I can't wait for that day. In Genesis 49:13, we're looking at Zebulun. Dwells at the seashore. He is for a haven for ships, and his border is into Zion. Now, if I'm looking for Zebulun where he went, what am I looking for in these emblems? Seashore, haven of ships. I'm looking for some type of ship, right? That's what he said. Let's look at it. So his symbol is a ship. This is an easy one. So look at here. This is Zebulun. So all of these, look at this lion, is in a ship. So there's a double connection here between Judah and Zebulun. There's a ship here. How many see these wonderful things? This is all through history. This is what we see happen. So we can trace where the 12 tribes went, where they resided, and where those people, and how, those people that came here to America were all from over there. They all came here as immigrants and dwell in America. It's wonderful. So we see all of this. Hopefully this will help you when you're looking at it. For yourself to find your own spot. So how many see this? Wonderful. We got a test in a little while, so keep remembering these things. I'm going to show you four random things, and you got to see who's there. Issachar is a strong donkey lying down between two burdens. So what am I looking for already? A donkey. A strong donkey who can haul some stuff. And he saw that a resting place was good and that the land was pleasant, and he inclined his shoulders to bear a burden and became a subject to slave labor. How many see that? The tribe of Issachar, his symbol is a laden donkey. So these are some of their coat of arms or their crest. How many see these? You see this around in the crest. You know who went there? Issachar. And you can see all these places. He went to a lot of different places, but mostly in Germany. I encourage you to find these online and go read all of them. Go read them. They're very good. I read through all these in this. That's why I used these versus some of the stuff that was used in the video, which was very small pics. These have a lot of information to them. Dan, let me just back up. This is one verse of Dan that I got to read on that next slide. Dan rightly rules his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan is a serpent by the way. So what are we looking for? Serpent. An adder by the path. Two different serpents. An adder is described as one that has the what? The horn. The horn. The adder has the horn. That bites the horse's heel. So what else I'm looking for? Horse. So that its rider falls backwards. I have waited for your deliverance, O Yah. So we look at Dan. The tribe of Dan, his first symbol is a serpent. The second is a bucking horse. So we look at Dan. This one, he's all over the place too. So we see it in his first primary, secondary. And in this one right here, again, remember this emblem. You'll see this a lot because Dan traveled. Dan traveled. How many see this right here? What is that? Austria. How many know what this one is? United States. Who got that one right? If you got that one wrong, we're going to start the class over. But you see this, these are all emblems of Dan. Gad, a raiding band raids him, but he raids its heels. Not a whole lot said about Gad. The tribe of Gad, his first symbol is a tent. A tent. The tent represents a military encampment. They were known as great warriors. The tribe of Dan. Who hopes you come from the tribe of Gad? Tribe of Gad. Great warriors. Let's look at Gad's deal here. This is the emblem of Gad. See the horse rider? Great warriors. You see this on a lot of crests. And you'll see this is where the crest of the towns that they were in. So Gad was in a lot of different places also. Well-traveled. And some of you sitting here, you can link your direct descendants from some of these places. You just got to do a little homework and you can do it. No problem. Genesis 49, verse 20. Bread from Asher is rich, and he has given delicacies of a sovereign. So notice Asher's is a little strange one here, but his symbol is a container for sweets. How many know Asher's right up my alley? He's giving containers of sweets out. We can invite Asher over. Amen? And I know a lot of you here laughing because I said it, but I'm sure you don't mind Asher coming visit you either. I'm not making this up. I'm continuing. This is what his father said about him. So think about it. So let's look at where Asher's been. So Asher, he's been all over too. Scotland, how many see that? Sweden. I mean, see all of Germany, a lot of Germany, England, Scotland, Germany, Scotland, England. He's been all over, and a lot of those places are known for their pastries. So this is the prophecy that was prophesied. Now listen, we don't think that all this matters, but it mattered to Jacob that he said this about Asher. Everybody needs a pastry in their life. And so here's the thing. These are not the more weightier ones, but they're in the Bible, and we should spend the time necessary to find out, because maybe you don't realize in life you lean toward a certain area and you don't know why. Go back and trace it back and see why. Naphtali is a deer let loose. Notice, a deer let loose who gives words of eloquency. So think about this. He gives these words, and he's like a deer let loose. So that's what we're looking for. His symbol is of being fast. Being fast. And so we see in these simple emblems here, Naphtali is like the deer. All of his symbols. And where did he go? All over different places. You see all these in Russia, the Netherlands. How many see that? Germany, the Netherlands, Poland. That's where Naphtali went and made his residence, and they grew and expanded. And this again, you might be able to trace your people back to the Naphtali. If you got some speed with you, check it out. If you're slow, don't fool with it. Go visit Asher. You'll become slower. Amen. Genesis 49:22. Joseph is an offshoot of the fruit-bearing tree. This is so good, this one. An offshoot of a fruit-bearing tree by a fountain. His branches run over a wall. And the archers have bitterly grieved him, shot at him, and hated him. But his bow remained his strength, and the arm of his hand were made strong by the hand of the mighty one of Jacob. Who made Joseph strong? The mighty one of Jacob. Who is that? Yeah, think about it. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. So now we got Yeshua linked to one guy already. Who was that? Who was he linked to, Yeshua? Linked to Yehuda. Remember that? That was a lot of more slides to that one because he covered a lot more. Now we're linking him to Joseph. We're linking him for when? In his first coming. Yehuda, he was linked in what's coming? His second coming. Remember, he comes and he's riding on a white horse. We read it in Revelations. So we have two different people. One represents the first coming. The other one represents his second coming. From El of your fathers who helped you, by the Almighty who blesses you with blessings of the heavens from above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of your fathers have excelled, and the blessings of my ancestors up to the limit of the everlasting hills. They are on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him who was separated from his brothers. Now, you got to understand, he's putting a lot of emphasis, and some of the brothers he gives a one-liner. He's putting a lot of emphasis. They still nonetheless make up the entirety of the tribes, and they are the ones that was in dispersion. And so let's look at Joseph. The tribe of Joseph is represented by Ephraim and Manasseh. His symbol is a bull, arrows, bow, not in a shooting bow, but in the bow of a branch of a tree. Bow or a unicorn. Think about it. His symbols is a bull, arrows, bow, or a unicorn. So let's look at Ephraim first. This is Ephraim. This is the emblems, the bull, the unicorn. How many see these things? They're wonderful. We see them. The strong presence of Ephraim here, double unicorn. Strong presence, that's what it means. This is Judah. Let me see. How do we know that's Yehuda? Golden lion from what son? What son? No, from Perez. Remember, Judah has two sons represent him. Joseph has two sons represent him. Keep that in mind. It'll give you, when you're thinking about it and you're going through these emblems, you'll see how important it is. Two sons represent Judah. They are Perez and Zerah. Two sons represent Joseph. Who are they? Ephraim and Manasseh. And so we see Judah's presence here and Ephraim. Again, this is, I can't make it out what it is. Canada. This is Canadian right here. So they made it that far. Judah and Ephraim. Now let's look at Manasseh. And Manasseh, Joseph's son, remember the bow? This is the bow, the branch, the arrows. Let me see that. What do we see in the United States? The bow, the arrows. We see, and here you can't make it out, but I got a blow-up shot of this. But we see Manasseh's heavily present in the United States. Heavily. A lot of his emblems is in this depiction here. So we count the Judah here. There's all sorts represented. I'll show you in the blow-up one. It's easier to tell. But we see all of these. You can go back and, again, see where you tie into Manasseh. Benjamin is a wolf that tears. In the morning he eats prey, and at night he divides the spoil. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is what their father spoke to them, and he blessed them. He blessed each one according to his own blessing. So let's look at Benjamin. All the disciples except Judas came from Benjamin. How many knew that? All the disciples except Judas came from Benjamin. Travel the Bible Belt and hear everyone preaching lone wolves. Lone wolves. Pose ready for the trumpet blast. And so we see a lot of this symbolism in this one right here. We see this a lot. This is the lone wolves. We don't see Benjamin present in the United States much in his seal. But we do see this in a lot of different places. You can see these places. England, Switzerland, Germany. Heavily in Germany. So we see those things as far as Benjamin goes. In 49:29, he commanded them and said to them, I am to be gathered to my people, buried with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite. In the cave that is in the field of Machpelah. Who bought that field? Abraham. See how we go? Now we're remembering a lot of things that was important by, because Jacob is saying, I need to be buried there. Which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite as a possession for a burial site. There they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife. And there I buried Leah. The field purchased and the cave which is in it from the sons of Heth. So Let's look at this right here. This is our, we're about going to finish up here in a little bit. How to do it. How many want to know how to do it? You can go home and take some time this week, and you can learn how to do it. How many want to know how to do it? Follow our four examples. Notice how the ensigns of various tribes are incorporated into them. Look for shields and symbols at least 150 years old, as modern ones are probably corrupted. So I'm gonna give you this one right here, this next one. Who do you see in this one? This is Great Britain. Right off the bat, you see who? Who else you see right off the bat? Ephraim. Remember, this unicorn, Ephraim. So we see that both of them are heavily present. No one, they're not dominating each other. They're about half and half present. And then we see a lot of the lion. How many remember we've seen these earlier? But also we see that king lion, the harp of David. So when we look at Great Britain, who was a world empire at one time, Great Britain ruled, and then the United States. So the last two world empires was Great Britain and the United States of America. And so if you can get these two right, you'll find out a lot of your history and what tribe you're connected to. The golden line of Judah is what we've seen in Great Britain. The red line of Zerah. The harp of David, the unicorn of Ephraim. So we'll back up because I missed the one. This one right here, the red lion, that's Zerah. Again, all linked to who? From Perez to Judah. So we see the two sons represented here, and then the king line represented here. And not forget Ephraim, who he said would be the completeness of the nations. Remember that. He would complete the nations, would be Ephraim. That's why he's got to call him back, and he's calling us back all over the world. It's happening. So those are the four things you should pick up. Now, everybody familiar with this one? You've seen this one 1,000 times. The United States of America, the USA. So I'll start right here. Who is this linked to? Manasseh. What about the arrows? Manasseh. There's 13 stars here, and their matrix is in the shape of what? Star of David. And then we have clouds here, which represents the cloud that overshadowed the tent of tabernacle of the Lord. And also, you have this eagle that we saw. Who is that eagle connected to? Dan. 13 stars for 13 states and 13 tribes. So when they set up America, they were heavily steeped in Israeli roots. And we can't ever forget that. Oh, we should at least know that. But how many know this is not taught in school? That's why we should be teaching the Torah, so at least our kids got some idea, and we know. We just find this out for ourselves. We ought to know this stuff, because it makes all the difference in the world if you have a connection to something. If you connect it to something, chances are of you liking it is a lot better than somebody else. Let me give you an example. If you got somebody who has a restaurant and they're part of your family, you connected to them, so chances of you going to eat somewhere else is not as highly as going to eat in your family's restaurant, because you connected to it. That's why you got to find your connection to the house of Israel. Because remember, he came only for the lost house of Israel. You got to find out where's your connection. Because if you have a connection, it makes all the difference in the world on where you lean to. You need to lean heavily to your family tree, and you want to make sure this is not something that just happened by happenstance. It didn't happen. What happened was God, he saw your DNA before you and I saw it, and he shook it. He shook it and said, okay, wake up, because I'm getting close. That's how much love he has for his people. The star matrix is the Star of David. The eagle is also a brigade banner. The bow and arrow from Manasseh. Clouds reflect the pillar of clouds, as spoke of over the tabernacle. So this is just some examples. How many know what this one is? The flag of Ulster, Ireland. So right off the bat, everybody knows this one. This is linked to who? Zerah. Remember, Zerah is whose son? Whose son is Zerah? Judah. Shout them out now, because this is class. We're in class. And then what else do you see right here? Star of David. And so we see the crown. So this is the flag of Ireland. So you think we have some presence of Judah there through Zerah and King David there? That whole line of Judah is represented in their flag. You think those people just out of the blue just say, well, I'm just going to make this? No, it's because in the people that make up that place, they're linked historically to something, and they're bringing that history with them, and they say, this is what our flag should look like. And it turns out that way. Same thing, the people that came to America, they were linked to something. What were they linked to? The lost house of Israel. They were linked to that. And so that's the spot that God had preserved. In Revelation, he says that there was a place, and it was, he called it a desert place. So, because before they came and set it up to be the superpower that it is now, it was sparsely inhabited. There wasn't much innovation going on. On the beautiful Ulster flag, there is a red hand, Zerah, mounted on the Star of David, Judah, under the royal crown, Perez. Why would symbols of Israel's royalty be on the flag of people who have been taught that they are Gentiles? It is because they are not Gentiles, but Israelites who have lost the knowledge of their true identity, and the proof is on the flag. So God is waking up people all over. Listen, this message is being preached in Ireland. This is being preached everywhere, and people are finally realizing they have hope. They've seen themselves. They didn't know why they was in so much trouble or struggled so much to get to be the country they were and fought so many battles. But now they're seeing hope in the end time. They're realizing that Yeshua came for the lost house of Israel, and I'm that lost house. And they're rising up and they're giving praise to Yah. It's a wonderful thing. It's absolutely incredible. So we have the East Stafford, England crest right here. So what do we see? Automatic. This is Judah through who? What son? Judah has two sons. Through Perez. So know it just like it says now, because very important. Who's this? Naphtali. See their presence there. And this is England crest in East Stafford. Because listen, provinces had their own crest. So you can't just look up the one crest for the entirety of the country. You look up the province's crest, and it shows you a concentration of people that might have been in that province. So when you do yours, keep that in mind. And so, what is this one right here? The water. Reuben, that was our first one. Good job. That was our first one. Reuben. What about this right here? The wall. Who? Go back to your notes. Simeon. So, how many see that in this we can see that the lost house of Israel again? And how many see that Judah, who, quote, stayed, was dispersed also everywhere? So there's still some Jews who have not been back to the homeland. They haven't been back. And so there's a lot of work still to be done. And the people are being gathered. Literally about the millions of people are coming to realize this for the first time. The rampant stag is from the tribe of Naphtali. The rampant lion is from the tribe, this is that autocorrect, of Judah. And the wavy blue line is from the tribe of Reuben. And the castle gate is from the tribe of Simeon. How many see that? So you could do this. I gave you four examples just to try to show you that you can do it. Now, who wants to take this one on? What is this? What's this word? Yerushalayim. So what do we see in Yerushalayim? Judah, and then we see the two olive branches. You see how they realized the people that was there? So who stayed in Jerusalem? So how many other things we see? Do we see any of those who left? So you think about it. Now there was a couple people who stayed because Yeshua, when he went, we had Anna and Simeon. They were from different tribes. So there was a couple people in that, but there wasn't massive in their numbers. So Judah pretty much dominated as far as presence. That's why it's single and it's representing Yerushalayim. That's their flag. Not Israel's flag, but Yerushalayim has a flag, the capital. Now what's this one? So we see Judah right here. We see the crown. So this is an old crest of France. Keep that in mind, of France. This is all the provinces of France. This is France. Now look at here, all the provinces. How many see anything that you points out to you that you would say that Israel's there? I'm going to just point to one and you tell me. Who is that? Represent. Judah's son, Zerah. So how many see? We see all of these. What's this one represent? Dan. So how many see there's a lot of emblems here that shows that there's a heavy presence in France? Who wants to try this one? They want to make sure everybody kept up with it. So we know dominant, this is representing who? Remember the two snakes? So the tongue coming out represents the serpent. Who was that one told of? Dan. And then we see the lion, the crown, the ship. Lots of present here. And this is the emblem of Austria. This is Austria. And so whose DNA am I looking at? Jesse Morris, 54% is from France, my DNA. So I just showed you the crest of the tribes that we're directly linked to. And how many saw those? So it would be Judah, Zerah, Dan, because they went to Austria first, and from Austria came to France and dwelt in France. And it's called the Celtics, and they had a priestly line that was there called the Druids. They came directly from Austria. They were known as the Druids. So I just wanted to point that out. If you would like to do that, you can. You first have to find out where you're from. We're mostly from, 54% of our family is from France. And so I wouldn't try to find anything other than there. although they're everywhere, right? They're everywhere. And so 54% from France. That would be my focus point, and that's why I put out those few things for you. Did you know? It is prophesied in the last days Elohim will set up his own banner, flag banner. He shall set up a flag banner, a beacon standard bearer, i.e. Messiah. What a day that's going to be. I'm at the end, brother, so I'm just going to stop right there. But not at the end, but at the end of what I'm going to do today. So how many know you still got to read? You still got to read 50. You go read chapter 50, and that ends the Torah portions for Genesis. And then we're moving on to Genesis to what? Exodus. Wonderful, wonderful Torah portions in there. Lots of information. So I hope my prayer is that you take some time to look up some of these things. We gave a few examples for you to do. I think it's a lot of fun myself. So if you're never taking the time to do that, you got to know where you're from first. And don't say my mama, because that ain't going to get you nowhere. So if you know about where you're from your family, then you'll know that you can go back and trace the chances of you being related to one of the tribes of Israel is very high. So we got some, historically we have some things to think about, especially when it comes to Dan, because Dan is not named in Revelation. And there's some theories behind why that is, because he's reserved to judge. So it's interesting because you can get yourself linked to it. If you get yourself connected to it, the chances are you're going to pursue that even more. But if you can't show a link to it, you say, well, what's the point? It don't matter. I'll eat anywhere. But if it's my family's place, I'm gonna pass up other places to go there in support of my family because I'm linked to it. You have to link yourself. Find out. And so you're not going to just eat anywhere. You're not going to serve any god. You're going to serve the God of your ancestors. Your family tree matters. It matters to you. And so so I did it for most of the people in here. So you don't have to go do it. I pretty much did it for you. Because if you look up your DNA, you're pretty much highly from France. So there you go. Thank you, Pastor. All right, well, appreciate you for being here this morning. Thank God for you. I hope that you got something out. I know this was more like class, but hopefully you got something out of it and it intrigued your interest to continue your studies and do what needs to be done. Amen.